quando ho letto il mio ricevimento, compliments of the new system. I'm Manuku Masahela, member of the committee, because I'm ANC from the Koko province. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Compliments for Dr. Susan. May this year be the best year in your life. I'm a member of the ANC. I represent the ANC in the Portfolio Committee for Tourism, and I'm very privileged to be here. Thank you.
I am the chairperson of this committee. I come from South Africa. On my right is Buziso Kudwayo, the committee project advisor. On my right is Jerry, whom you all know, who is the committee secretary. Over to you, Minister, and the over to you, Minister, and your team, and then everybody will introduce themselves.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. I was actually born just up the road from here, and then after I was born, my mother gave me the name Derek. My father wanted to call me Dirk, but my mother decided Derek has to be the name. And my surname is on the phone. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable chairperson and honourable members, minister and colleagues. My name is Victor Sarati. I'm the director of the Department of Tourism.
Good morning, honourable chairperson. Good morning, member. My name is Moronga Shampi, the president of the Tourism Committee. I'm the Deputy Director General acting for Policy and Knowledge Services.
Compliments, Chairperson members. Good morning. I'm Ralf Ackerman. I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Pietro Finca. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Director General of Tourism.
Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members. I'm Renisa Mula. I'm the Chief of Staff in the Ministry of Tourism.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. My name is Thabo Makubeja. I'm the Director of the DG Tourism.
Morning, everyone. I'm Sharma Natu. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of Minister Anika.
Good morning. I'm Colleen Tisuka. I'm support of Tourism Department.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Natasha Rockman, and I'm the MOO for the Deputy Minister of Tourism.
Good morning, everybody. Isma Hussain from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group, and compliments of the New Year to everybody.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Nancy Peterson. I'm the Secretary to the Work.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Supervisor Carter, Executive Secretary for the President.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bunkin Twizy. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning, and the interpreter.
We've been joined by another member. Can you introduce yourself? And we proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I'm Asan Mashobin, a member of the UDF. Thank you.
Thank you very much for all those introductions. Hey, Jerry. Are there any apologies?
Yes, Chair. We've got a couple of them. Chair, Honorable Trevo, apologize. Honorable Kabekulu, apologize. Honorable Krumbok, apologize. Honorable Force, apologize. And Honorable Wotek. Those are the apologies that we have recorded for them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to welcome the department. And I would upfront say we invited you to come and give the second and third quarter report And we did indeed raise the fact that the third quarter report is preliminary because it will be finished by the end of January and would have been here in Feb. You give us whatever you have. Then when you come for your fourth quarter, then you bring the rest of the of whatever you didn't give us today. And we are also, it's good you sent us a holding statement on the status of the of SAT because you have been asking about what they got from the grapevine on the CEO of the board. And we were getting worried because next week the SAT will be coming to present on the same presentation that they're giving us. So it's good you gave us this statement. But before you give your presentation, I'll raise some issues which I'm sure you'll address as you give us the report and you respond to whatever information. We're quite worried that the extended public works program is really still at the deficit. You overplan, as we always say, you overplan, and then your targets are not reached. And that is quite a big concern because even this time, your targets doesn't seem possible that they'll be reached by the end of the financial year. And you already know what AG said about the extended public works program. So there's a problem of planning and also over planning. The department has a downward appropriation. That's what it was. We were happy when the department had an upward appropriation. It had a downward appropriation this time. And the worry is, there is a budget that was going to be spent and has not been spent. And it is in the same program where 78 million was not spent, and now 10 million has not yet been spent at this time. And there's a likelihood of going to appropriations, and that riot. It becomes a problem. When it comes to the act, you are aware that by giving us very scanty information, for instance, you put a target and you speak to us that the target has not been reached, the intervention has not been achieved, and the exact achievement was this much, and you don't actually inform us of the challenges. We really would like to know the challenges. Because we're doing oversight, and when we go out to do our oversight, and we are not aware of the challenges that you have, then we're going to be lost. That's what are you doing with the budget? For instance, next month, there will be a budget speech by the Minister of Finance. Thereafter, it will be budget vote debate. What do you say? What is it that you think as we do our oversight? What information have you given us so that you are able to actually support? So that is also quite a worrying situation. And also the problem of implementation of programs. There is the program, program 3, international tourism, where 81% has been spent, but none of the plan objectives have been achieved. So the money has been spent on what? Because there were 3, and 3 has not been achieved even at the third quarter, but maybe you might still achieve it, or 1. What is it? What has been done by the money? So if you give us all that information, we'll be a bit more maybe comfortable. Or you will give us that information which you don't, which you are a bit economic about. So on that note, and when it comes to financials, the CFO report on financials, but we really would be happy if you know what was the original appropriation before we come to the next appropriation, to the downward appropriation, so that you are aware where is the problem. and how that problem came about. Thank you very much. Over to you, Minister and the team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not going to be answering these questions because this is a setting with the department. I just want to start off by saying, though, you will have in your program somewhere, you will have a tabled apology from me. I'd like to apologize for that apology and have that apology removed because I'm here. And I'm here because I tried my utmost to change my program to be here because it's the first meeting of the Portfolio Committee, and so I'm really pleased to be here with you. When I arrived here, there are some members of the Portfolio Committee who are so serious about their work, I couldn't even greet them. They were in a huddle preparing for the meeting. So good morning, honourable members. And this honourable member, she's just arrived. Good morning to you. I want to just say, Chairperson, compliments to the team. Even you, Chairperson, I haven't seen you. I think, I've had withdrawal symptoms, for this period. I like Arnold Adams. I think it's going to be a good year. I think in particular, I think they have very, very exciting prospects of it being a good year for tourism. But, we can talk about that later. But the main thing is, personally, I hope you all had a good rest. I hope you come back invigorated and that we can work together and really make things happen together. That'll be great. I thought I'd just mention a few things that have happened since we saw each other last, and then the DG and team can answer the questions you put to them and do what is required of them, and that is to speak to the quarterly report. Just in the... after the closing of the last session, you'll probably have heard that the CEO of Ethnic Tourism, by agreement of the board, departed early. As in, there was agreement of the with the board and a recommendation of the board that he should, his contract was coming to an end at the end of this year anyway, that there would be an agreement that he would depart early, and that's what happened. The post is being advertised, will be advertised very short soon, and so a new CEO will be found. But meanwhile, the COO is acting as the CEO of Ethicism, and things are stable and things are running very well. We can report that. You may have seen in the newspapers, we advertised the two vacant posts after the resignation of the COO of the department. The COO post was advertised, or corporate services as it were, and the DDD for policy and knowledge services, that post was advertised. We've done the interview with Chairperson, and the successful candidates have to go through competency assessments. All that has been done, and now we think within the next few weeks these vacancies will be filled. Clearly, we will report back to you as it comes. The 2015 was not an easy year for tourism. A range of factors having a negative effect on tourism. The end of 2015, however, it ended on quite a positive note, as you will have read. We though can only really comment, although other people have commented on figures, we only comment on the figures released by Stats SA. But then we do get, other verifiable figures that indicate that the season was really good. This is not tourism arrivals. This is the information that we get from Robin Ivers, from Kettle Mountain, from the Walter Sisulu Botanical Garden, and Mount Peng, that the season has been really good for tourism. There's 40% increase in numbers, over 40% to Robin Island on last year, for example. So these are verifiable figures. The last figure, we've made a short comment on it, from Stats SA, was for November 2015. The good news about statistics is that this has come, Chairperson, a lot faster than previous figures that have come to us, or previous stats have come to us. So, in the past it's been up to 3 months. This one came to us in a matter of about 7 weeks, which I think is good news. It came quite soon after the October statistics had been released. In a nutshell, the November statistics indicate an increase, not a huge one, but an increase year on year in overseas arrivals, overseas tourist arrivals, not all arrivals, tourist arrivals, the kind of visitors that come to South Africa. So an increase in the overseas tourist arrivals year on year between November 2013 and November 2014, a decrease in SADC and the rest of Africa. So in total, a slight decrease on November 2014. So we still have others. As I said, we don't have a December figure and beyond. Whatever might happen beyond. But the signs are good. And notably, chairperson, as you know, we had a very, very significant drop in visitors from China, in tourist arrivals from China. Actually, both September, October, November, all 3 months, huge increases in the numbers of arrivals from China. So that's very positive. So we end up feeling optimistic about what can be done. Clearly, we are anxious that all of the decisions of cabinet with regard to the visa regulations, that these be implemented, and we're working very closely with the Department of Home Affairs to get that implementation. The DG might speak about it later, it might arrive in your question period, but we're working on it, and we believe that it is, and I'm going to more or less end here, we believe it is a question of us continuing to intensify our marketing efforts, market more effectively, remove the obstacles as much as we can to ensure ease of access to South Africa, and then we think that we could have a very good 2016. The note that I was going to end on is that we all know what is happening with the economy, and in particular, well, three things in particular, the commodity prices, which are affecting our economy quite dramatically, especially the prices of some of our key commodities like gold, iron ore, platinum, etc. So we are seriously affected by commodity prices. Obviously, there's a bit of a downward turn in the world economy, and especially emerging economies, and that affects us as well. And then, of course, the drought, which we're all very well aware of. So, hopefully, it won't amount to just 6 million tons of maize imports, but we're looking at significant maize imports, and all of that impacts on the economy. The effect of it is that, obviously, there's a reduction in revenue. We have a very high debt service cost, so we've got economic challenges. Why am I saying all of this? I'm not the Minister of Finance. He will say more about it when he does his budget speech. But where does that leave tourism? Well, we know what happened to the exchange rate. The exchange rate is in favor of increasing tourism numbers. So at this stage, South Africa, it was, in any event, early last year, it was a value for money destination. We believe even some of the increases in numbers from overseas markets, as early as November and even earlier, the increases were partly as a result of the favorable exchange rate. But the exchange rate that we have at the moment, it's an extremely affordable package, an extremely good value for destinations. So that is in our favor. We are not affected by commodity prices, so increasingly, tourism is seen as a sector that could help rescue the economy, which is why we really must, seen by Treasury and seen by others, as a sector that has growth potential and job-creating potential. And so, everything points to us, after you've drilled the Director General and team, to do our work well, we do it properly, and that we can then make a really meaningful and significant contribution to economic growth and job creation. And so with those few words, I'm feeling buoyant, actually, feeling very positive about the year ahead, and I'm delighted to be here at the first portfolio committee meeting. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you for your letter wishing us all well in 2016 and also giving us hope. And just to address the last part, we are just concerned if the government is not doing much, because we see it also getting right up, getting buoyant, exceeding all the other sectors in the economy. That's what we would wish to happen. And that's why we've got so many questions, so that the department begins, the members in the department begin to really, really do their work seriously and be content about their work. Thank you very much. Before we start, the honorable members will give 10 minutes. Because I think our agenda is longish, and there are many members that are not present. Over to you, DG. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member. We will do presentations and we will take program by program, but there are a few things that I would like to discuss from Honorable Chairperson, that I would also provide a little bit of a context. First and foremost, I would like to say that we committed to providing all support necessary to enable the work of the committee in terms of doing all the site of our work, and we fully welcome the guidance of the committee in terms of areas where they believe we could do differently or could do better. And in that, I would like to pledge on behalf of everybody in the department that we always will be transparent about what we're doing. And if some of the things we have reported are not as clear, I also want to say on the chairperson that it wouldn't have been intentional. However, I would like to extend that in instances where there is more information required that perhaps the framework may not necessarily be able to accommodate, I want to extend an invite, chairperson, to the secretariat in its extended form, whether it is the core of the secretariat or whether it's the research head of the secretariat, that when that information is required, they have my number, they can find me, they can alert me to those. Of course, we will do the formal processes, but it helps when I do know that these are some of the things that I've got to actually deal with as urgently as possible. So we will definitely ensure that those processes are actually taken care of. The other aspect, Honorable Chairperson, that I would like us to also look into is the framework of our APP. It must actually be able to pass the criterion of being specific, the measures must be specific, the smart criterion in its entirety must actually be met. There must be measurable, time bound, and so on and so forth. In light of that, there is limitations in terms of what gets into this particular document, into the ATT, which then says there's a whole host of other things that get done that may not necessarily feature here. And I do give one of the chapters that when we do the planning session, when we present our plans, the preliminary presentation of the plans, we will endeavor to go a little more deeper to be able to list what are these things that are not necessarily featured in the APP. I'll give you an example. You would have noticed that the program 3, of which I should also extend an apology on behalf of DDG Malan, she is on sick leave, it's been about a week and a half now that she booked off. So that is something that she would have wanted to be here, but she also indicated that I should extend an apology. So I will deal with the issues that pertain to that particular program. So I did say to her, in any case, I'm the accounting officer, so whether it's in that program or it's in any other program, absolutely it is within the department. We have a lot of work that we do with the international program, one of the chefs, one of the members, which is not necessarily in the ADP. This relates to work that we do in terms of the regional competition. And amongst other things, there's been a lot of work that we've been doing at all levels, political level and at an impressive level in terms of the positioning of resources. As one of the examples that I'm just using, there's a number of bilaterals that we've had with a number of countries where we need to actually ensure that there's certain policies that needed to be removed and so on. And also strengthening relationships with those particular countries as well. There's a lot of work that we're doing at the global level with UNWTO, and this is where Minister also has a whole host of other responsibilities within that particular domain. And also as a department, for instance, within the Service Committee of the UNWTO, which is actually looking at a whole host of things, including continuous improvements of the statistical framework that we use in tourism satellite countries. So there's a whole host of work that gets done in that particular domain, which does not necessarily then translate into an ATT. And the reason for that is because it's not time-bound, it's not that specific and so on and so forth. So for those things, we'll have to find a way of actually bringing that into the attention of the committee and such. Having said that, within that particular program again, when we have to deal with, and I will give maybe one or two examples, when we have to deal with aspects that relate to accessing certain markets and so on and so forth. We've been having intense discussions, and this also subsequent to some of the discussions we've had with the committee to say this does look like something that needs to be relooked at in terms of how do we monitor. Now we are in some form of a transitional process where we are saying anything that has got market related issues must be within one room. We must actually have one roof over this room. And our firm belief is that roof is SAC. And that mandate is quite clear with regard to that. So as we do that transition, there are things that we're doing collaboratively, which when you look at this, it will say not there yet. But these are things that are already lined up, but we are making use of SAT to actually get to those particular things. So that will come out quite clear as we actually come to the fourth quarter. And then said that then it gives me quite a lot of confidence that all these things that we are seeing, that currently they look for use of this kind of code, they look like it's yellow throughout and so on. Within that particular problem, the international problem, we are definitely going to be able to do all of this. We are quite confident about it. The other areas would also pertain to problem two, which is the quality and noise services. In particular, the water would like lift, obviously, when it deals with the problem, she will deal with that sort of thing. But I would like to lift the National Tourism Sector Strategy. And what we are doing on the government, we are reviewing, we are not revising the strategy. We are reviewing what have we been able to do since the implementation of this strategy? What has really worked that we must carry forward? What are some of the things that we probably will need to revisit and look at how best we can actually improve in those areas? So the document that we'll come out with is not a lengthy document. This might be a 10 to 15 pages. But it comes from text and text of documents that are thousands and thousands of spots and so on, that we then have to actually consolidate into. These are the things that we will then now intervene in to be able to scale up on things that we will do. So we are saying it does require that we do it carefully considered, if I could put it that way. We don't rush it. If it comes to the end of the year and we have not yet finalized everything, but we do everything right and we are ready to implement within May or within April, whatever we have agreed upon. That for us, we believe, would actually be doing the most responsible thing for the council, than to rush it and not, because I'm doing my own roundabout. I'm going to see almost every CEO to look at the environment within which they are, what experiences they had with regards to the implementation. And so I'm seeing the departments, the DGs from the other side, to actually see how best they could support us, whether it's transport, whether it's related home affairs and so on. So we need to actually have that approach and ask maybe. We still feel that it is possible for us to actually conclude this thing within the year, but I think it is important for us to state that in that particular process as we are engaging and so on, we'll endeavor to complete. Should it not happen, we'll still be able to actually have that in the next quarter next year. The other issue, Minister did allude to issues pertaining to the implementation of the immigration regulations and field provision. We've been hard at work with the colleagues from Home Affairs. I will start with the average certificate. They do have some doubts in place, which must go through their own processes and so on. So that's something that they should be making some announcements quite soon, because today is basically the last day of the 3 months. But to be able to get to some of the immediate things that really will be able to give us some quick wins, we have agreed on the China accreditation dispensation. And we are anticipating that they will be making some announcements at the same time in terms of what is going to be the dispensation. With regards to India and Russia, we have looked at what is out there, and we would like to place it on record that their dispensation is quite different
from the child dispensation is very, very different from the Papa dispensation in terms of the organizational business. So when it comes to India, as an example, we do have a database of businesses that are operating in that particular environment. We've got the ones that are also doing business with South Africans. We've got a database of those that have gone through what South African tourism calls the SAE Fundi. So they have already been trained, they know what South Africa is about and so on and so forth. They are ready to sell it. The process we're going through is to say, these are the gatherings control on the side of India that they go through to be able to actually say, this is someone who's registered, this is someone who's paying taxes and so on and so forth. This is a large number of companies. Currently we're sitting on the database of about 7,000. Beyond that 7,000 is the additional ones that we're told we couldn't reach up to 25,000 and so on. The initial thinking was, let's start with the ones that are actually doing business with South Africa. And I agree with that. We say, that's prioritized them, and that is immediate things that we can do. But what we don't want to also do is a situation where we could then have fingers pointed at us as a country to say, we are actually dividing business within China. There are some that want to do business with, there are some we don't want to do business with. So we want to go through those processes properly. But we do believe that those methods are actually on track. And we are hoping that we'll get this announcement on China within this period, before the end of this month. Honorable Chairman, honorable members, we'll then go to the presentation. The CFO is going to deal with the finances. But that's just to highlight something before the CFO comes in. The classification of this 10 million grams, before the 10 million grams, that's regular data, is not quite correct to classify. We do not declare anything from our financial system. Throughout the period, we have not declared it. It's money that they've taken, but they classify it as a savings. And that is we have written outside in order to them to communicate that that's not a saving. It's basically cut. And cuts have been effected in different ways. So this is one of the cuts that was also taken. But the issue of extra classification of it, there was no communication for us to say this is a saving that we've made. So CFO will deal with the finances, and then Ms. Bengu is going to deal with program one. I don't know which person whether each one will present should then deal with quarter two and quarter three. Or are we going to deal with one quarter, finish it, discuss it, and then go back. So they are interrelated. The work is interrelated.
Because you'll be giving us whatever in quarter four, then you can deal with them.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm glad the DG has dealt with the 10 million because I think it's more diplomatic than what I am. I can just say that we were not very pleased with the cut of 10 million rand from our budget. This question, it's actually pretty that we could not put the two next to one another, because then you can see at the end of September and then at the end of December our spending, and then also then I could have done like the comparisons the shift that was in the budget and the digital funding that we received, and then also from the second report, the fourth report, we will see that on administration our spending was 4.9%, which is 103 million rand. Quality and knowledge services, the spending there is 654 million, and that, of course, that program includes our transfer payment to our public entity inside tourism, and it also includes our new program, the tourism intensive program. The spending there was 33.8 million, up to 16.8 million. And the international tourism, 27 million, which is a huge budget, 58.8%. and medical tourism, which include our social responsibility of the PPP project. This is 47 million, 48%. And in total, our spending was 31.71%. On the next slide, this is just an economical breakdown of our budget and our expenditure. There you can see that our current payments to secure the compensation and tourism and goods and services is 220 million, and then our transfer payments is 44 million, and then our capital assets is 3 million. And then our total budget that we spend was nearly a billion, 932 million. And then, Chairperson, I think it's just important to note this, and then if we come to the next one, I will then just point out where the changes were in the adjustment budget.
Why is the CDG with a budget? If it's got the hard copy, can you just continue presenting it?
Thank you, Chairperson. I should like now to add to a free update. Chairperson, now you can see that in our adjustment budget, we received an additional amount for compensation on software employees due to the salary increases. So each program got its share of 3.9 million rand. And then under policy and knowledge services, we have to implement the 10 million cut on the tourism incentive program. But here you can see that our spending has increased. Program 1 is on 70%, policy and knowledge services 73%, international tourism 81%, and domestic tourism 78%. On the next slide, this is where some of the changes or the shifts happened. Just to say that we did not shift any money between programs. The only shift that came was between economic classifications. Now the reason for that is due to a modified cash standard, you will remember that when the Auditor General was there, there was a problem with the classification of a standard public works program. Now most of that money was classified in the transfer payments. Now according to the modified cash standard, it needs to be reclassified. So we have to move it from transfer payments, and the training projects of the EPWP will now fall under goods and services, and then the infrastructure projects will now be classified under capital assets. Now the confirmation of the capital assets, we are still waiting for Treasury to give us the final document on that, but we basically just got 2 months left to do that reclassification. We've got everything in process, so we are sure that we will meet those targets before the next audit takes place. Australia. And then in total, just to say that from our budget, you can see that now $1.3 billion has been spent. And we're quite confident that in the remaining 3 months, we will spend our total budget. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will go through the program 1 presentation and I will use the quarter 2 presentation to speak to further progress and preliminary information of the program 1. And say, to just to clarify the issue of preliminary information, that we rely on evidence-based reports for our stakeholders and student parliament. So just to make sure that the information we provide you can place reliance on. We have last week for quarter 3 submitted the performance information for file verification with our internal audit. So we should be able within the next week or two to confirm the information that is contained in the report that we have for you at quarter 3. So it can be that only as preliminary. I am going to focus on the areas where there may be questions or on the areas where we did not meet our quarterly milestone for the purpose. With regard to the business performance work, we have met our requirements both for obtaining our annual report and for submitting all our quarterly performance information and submitting the CEPA strategic plan and AP to the presidency and national insurance. We have as well in our efforts to assist the minister's oversight on management as well as policy, we have submitted both the quarter 1 and the quarter 2 reports over the 2 quarters that we are reporting to now. So in quarter 2 we will be reporting on the previous quarter and then in quarter 3 we will be reporting on quarter 2. And that work has been completed. That is with regard then to the maintenance of a particular vacancy rate at a particular level, we want to ensure that at all times we do not go beyond 10% of vacancies in the department. We did maintain below 10% with the target, with the performance being at 6.6 vacancy rate in quarter 2. On the equity target, we are still exceeding our target on people with disabilities. In quarter 2, we were at 5.2%. That rate will confirm to the audit, but it would have gone slightly down in quarter 3. With regard to women representation, we were at 49%, when we have targeted to maintain it at a minimum of 50% women. However, this target is managed through the recruitment processes where we prioritize the recruitment process to ensure that our internal equity target are met. And then with regard to the workplace use plan, we have in quarter 2, our workplace use plan, which is a business development program to assist departmental staff members to meet their to participate and serve. There were 60 employees in quarter 2 that attended skills programs, including policy development, contract management, business writing, and service management capacity building intervention. We have also on employee health and wellness, the department and in terms of the APP, we have targeted to have an employee wellness program, one employee wellness program, but as we have indicated, other mental health will not only meet themselves to the APP with other wellness management and interventions that provide for staff, including health screening, financial wellness sessions and seminars, HR counseling and testing, which is held in the program. For instance, on health screening, 89 employees attended last year. We had a blood donation drive and all of those other wellness issues, including 57 employees that were assisted with during the health screening intervention in quarter 2. with regard to our financial reporting to interview to the treasury and the editor general's office, because the important three were Coratura, we were dealing with the annual reporting work, or and then the quarterly reporting was done in the treasury, all of that was met, all those requirements were met on the quarter. And with regard to our work to ensure that we use the government cluster system to ensure that the tourism lending and tourism agenda is supported by our partners, especially at the government level, at national level. We have a system which we have kept up what we call a Kenneth and Cluster Coordination Protocol. It is a system, it outlines how we participate in the system, how our representation, how we submission into the system, and that is the protocol then that we regularly review to decide how best we can participate in that system to get our issues into cabinet and into the product cluster system to get support from our partners. All of that where the review was completed, and we continue to implement it every year. With regard to the communication strategy, there was a slight delay in quarter two, which related to one deliverable within the communication strategy, where our head of communication had a forum, communication forum with our public service partners at provincial and national level, and that forum had happened, actually it happened 3 days after the reporting period. So we had in quarter three, we had two of those sessions, one on October 3 and another one in December. So we have caught up with the implementation of that of those particular requirements of those quarter two and quarter three. Then with regards to tourism complaints, we do have an appointed tourism complaints officer. And the work to manage complaints received and refer them and the follow up work to respond to the complainants, that work is managed by their office, and we make our requirements.
Can I just pause there, Chairperson? Inquire from you. Is this the level of detail that you would like to go to, or would you prefer more opportunity for engagement on the matters that stand out? Because now you're going through one by one on things that people can actually read. But if the members want this level of detail, of course you're good. But it's up to you.
Minister, I think you're correct. When questions come from the members, then you can go into detail.
Then that is the end of my presentation. Okay.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson. I'll be presenting on Program 2. Our first target is the two National Tourism Stakeholder Forum meetings that we're supposed to hold. We managed to do that in Quarter 2, where we hosted the National Tourism Stakeholder Forum, concentrating more on the National Tourism Sector Strategy Review that we embarked on, engaging our stakeholders and receiving feedback on the work that we had conducted in quarter two. Then on the review of the National Tourism Sector Strategy, we were supposed to do a draft NTSS and also consult on the draft NTSS in quarter two. Unfortunately, because we were far ahead, we were running a little behind in terms of our target. What we have done, we managed to do the environmental scan, which is the research that informs the framework, and so that the framework can inform the scope of the work that should be included in the actual review of the NTSS. So we have done the environmental scan. We have also developed the framework for the NTSS. Now we are busy finalizing and refining the draft strategy, which is now in the current quarter, so that we can go for gazetting. And in terms of the two policies that we're supposed to develop, which is on the new regulation for tourist guards, what we have done, we have looked at the Tourism Act to inform the draft regulation, and then we have consulted with provincial registrars in terms of office, the content of the draft regulation, as well as what they have experienced in their own provinces, as they are the people who are implementing the policies at ground level. So we have done those stakeholder consultations with the provincial registrars. We had one centralized workshop in the proper province, and we also engaged key players in the tourist guiding sector. Those are people from the national department, like Department of Security, as a security agency. We have been engaging with them. We have been engaging with SAFA in terms of the qualification requirements and so on and so on. So we have engaged key stakeholders in the sector. We have also talked to key associations that are dealing with the tourist sites in the sector. They have also given us their input. In terms of developing the enterprise and supplier development program to accelerate SMEs empowerment in the tourism sector, what we have done, we have defined the scope of the program and also had identified critical tools that will enable us to achieve the target. The quarter target so far was for quarter two was the final scoping of and the functional and technical specifications of the database that we need to develop to support SME empowerment in the sector. So what we've done, we have developed the report with the final scoping functional and technical specifications, and all is going according to plan. The capacity building for tourism practitioners and policymakers at local government level. I think let me say that this is a partnership that we do with South African Local Government Association. What they do, they visit and they help us inform the capacity building content of what we should be concentrating on in partnership with the department. Then they also help us to facilitate the key people that we should be targeting for this training program. We have done that with SAGA, and they helped us, and in quarter two we managed to train 49 tourism practitioners, which are people who are doing tourism management as well as tourism managers at local level. And we have done that across 9 municipalities in all 9 provinces. In terms of the initiative to support the implementation of universal access and government-owned provincial parks, which is phase 1 of the honest, as well as the training, what we have done, we realize that when we do workshops for the stakeholder awarenesses, there's also a keen interest for those people that we target for the workshop. They are very keen also to do the training. So what we have done, we combine the two first, we do the awareness with the targeted stakeholders and provinces, and then after that, we involve training on the same group of people that we've created awareness, because already you have achieved the first phase, then you move to the second phase of the UA, of the Universal Accessibility Project. We have done that and it's going well, and now we're looking forward to do the rest in the next quarter. The implementation of program to capacitate tourist guides at tourist heritage sites, namely Robben Island Museum and Fred Ford Dome, that we have done. First, in what we have done, we have defined the training content in quarter one, finalized the service providers, and then in quarter two, we have embarked on the actual training. We have started with Fred Ford Dome, where we looked at the key group of tourist guides in the area that we have already engaged with before as a department. So we have targeted that group, we are giving them training in presentation, in communication, in critical skills that they need as tourist guides. And now what we are going to do, we are going to be enrolling training for Robben Island in partnership with Robben Island under the Destination Development Program as part of our agreement with Robben Island. The capacity building on tourist information that to support conduct at 8 World Heritage sites in quarter 2 and quarter 3. In quarter 2, we have managed to do that. This is a partnership with the University of Pretoria. They have a center on continuous education. We have sat with UP, we have defined the training content that is relevant, and after we embark on a strategy where we met with the World Heritage Site to give us the right people, because our target was the Vita Information Center, which is the frontline staff at the World Heritage Site. And then they have identified the right people that were suitable for the training program that we embark on as a department. So in order to, we're supposed to train forward heritage sites, which has made a mistake, but we managed to train 5 world heritage sites instead of 4, because it made a sense that we train on 2 areas, and therefore it was easy for us to group the world heritage sites, looking at the regional spread as well as the areas that they are concentrating, that define their world heritage sites in terms of what they are offering as a world heritage site. So we've managed to do that. The effective development program to capacitate black women managers. The PBI identifies 2 areas, which is mentorship and executive development program, but we are starting with the effective development program. This is the work that we're doing with the Tourism Service IPATA Council, who are helping us to develop the capacity that we need for black women in the tourism sector. We have developed the draft concept document for the executive development program. We have also developed...
Or BEE can skip that one, because we are going to have a presentation from the Director General of BEE.
Okay.
And can you actually, because of time, tell us just where to do this, this is what we've done.
Thank you. Then we have done also, we have also drafted the memorandum of understanding for that program, which we are going to appoint a service provider. Then on the destination development plan, we have 2 identified priority sites, which is Robben Island Museum and Sandhurst. Initially, our target was that we're going to do Robben Island Museum as well as Sandby Botanical Gardens, because the plan was delayed for Sandby Botanical Gardens. So, and Sandhurst, we approached Sandhurst and they moved quite quickly.
Let me help you. I heard you correctly now. You were saying, because of time, that she should say, as it is here, yes, we've done. You will ask more questions of detail. Then you're going into detail that is not there. Not on request of members. And the chairperson just wants you to say, yes, done, not done, why not done?
Sorry, Minister, maybe I should have said that it was a slight deviation from the target on this one, which is, it was my mistake. But it managed to do 2 priority sites, which is Robben Island Museum and Sandhurst National Park. In terms of the tourism resort efficiency program, we should have implemented in Mpumalanga. We have done that in Nelspruit. We have also piloted the universal accessibility on-site assessment tool. A 2 government-owned provincial parks have already managed also to do that. We have piloted that. In terms of the 3 priority areas supported during the pilot phase under the tourism incentive program, we have 3 programs, market access, tourism grading, and tourism grading as well as energy efficiency. We have implementation reports that we have developed to cover the support that we have provided to all 3 priority areas. These are progress reports on a quarterly basis. 3 monitoring evaluation reports, we managed to develop that. One is the stakeholder consultation on the state of tourism report framework that we've done. We managed to do the consultations on the framework. We also managed to do data collection on the state of tourism report that we are busy conducting. We also managed to do the impact evaluation, where we collected data for SRI projects to do the impact evaluation. Now we're also doing data collection for the 2014-15 National Tourism Sector Strategy Implementation Report, which we managed to do in quarter 2. Under tourism knowledge portal, user needs conducted for the hospitality and accommodation subsectors, we managed to do user need assessment to identify the needs at these 2 subsectors, and we have the outcome of those user needs assessment engagement. For the National Tourism Information Gateway, we have a quarterly operational report for OR Tambo, International international airport that will support the development which we have done, and also have a resource land for the King Chaka International Airport, because we are going to be embarking on the LTIG at King Chaka. We have managed to develop the resource land to implement in the current quarter. In terms of the progress report on data collection for the four research studies that we are doing in collaboration with the university, we have developed a progress report on quarter two on what has been done in partnership with the universities. That work is on track. Okay, oh, I've come to the end. Okay. Thank you.
DG on international tourism, there are some assets that you did mention that can just run quickly, okay?
And thank you very much. The issue of the training of the facilitation of support for the missions and so on. This initiative, what we are basically doing is to ensure that the people that are in or are going to missions through the DECO have the substantive understanding of our needs as tourism, and also how they can best position us in terms of how we link up, whether it's trade with FAC, or whether it's a better understanding of the country, and the people that are coming to get their visas and so on, they're able to say that some of the things that you could do and so on. So within that one, the approach that was taken was not to go to the mission themselves, but the people that are being sent to the mission by DECO, and people that are already in missions that come, they come back from time to time, for example, their refresher. Those are the platforms that we are then invited to. Thus far, we've been invited to two platforms, which have quite a number of missions, and the indication is that those might be the ones for the year, for this particular financial year. They will then communicate the next batch of cadet ambassadors, and those that are already in the missions that they would also be trained in the current year. So that's the context within the particular one. The next one relates to skills development program related to chef training, but the training here is targeting the trainer. The school that has been identified by the chairperson is the Northwest School of Arts Design, which is in Maiki. And we have spent more time here. I mean, in the first quarter, we did not necessarily have a specific target because that was the time for in-depth negotiations. What we're trying to get is to make sure that we've got these agreements signed between the hospitality school that we're targeting in France, the French authorities here, as well as the school itself. So there is meeting of minds, but we need to agree on the exact stage today. This is then that is going to happen with regards to the trainers that are actually going to then be exposed to this. The focus of French cuisine is something that they actually want to go into from the school side, and that's why it's actually the area that is prioritized. I still firmly believe that we will to be fine within the particular area, because most of this work relates to getting everyone to agree before we actually go into the side. Then the issue with regards, I did speak to this one a little bit, the issue with regards to market development. So far, I mean, we've got a target of about 20 different markets that were actually being targeted for the entire year. So far, altogether, we've done about 15 of those. There's some that we then took a conscious decision that let's make sure that we bring on board and we'll provide reports in terms of which countries and so on. The level of detail. But we have then taken a conscious decision that this is an opportunity for us to manage this transitional arrangement to be able to actually get these things under one roof. So SAT will then be following up on that, amongst others, Zambia, the Nordic countries, and the Irish, and so on and so forth. So that way it's actually happening as we speak, and then we'll actually be able to provide the necessary evidence for that. The last one relates to the platform that gets created has been done, where Minister is able to have an interaction with counterparts from within the continent, and this relates to the detailed planning around it. It's quite a strategic platform. When one reads it here, it comes out with it, but it's quite a strategic platform in that it is able to create a dialogue about matters that the principals within the continent can therefore focus on for the young state. This is the direction of some of the things and so on and so forth. Even if it's not necessarily a multilateral forum, so to say. So that we would also be able to deal with properly, and we are quite advanced in terms of the planning to be able to get that state with production.
Sorry, before you start on domestic tourism, apart from tourism month and everything else, we would like to know about the SMMEs, rural SMMEs. We would like to know about the expanded public works program in particular. And the others can only, these two, I would like to know about. Okay, thanks. Astrid Tourism Month, NCCE as well. On the educator seminar, we have done very well in regards to this one. We're targeting four. We have managed to do eight. That is in provinces, simply because the Cabinet of Education professors have to do this before the exam. We are left with only one city, Limpopo, will be doing it in February during the week of Mandela. Can we go to the next one? On the THRD strategy, we have some delays in terms of contractual arrangements with the management, but currently they've managed to come up with a draft in terms of giving us the skills landscape, the skills landscape in the country, and which basically profiles what is happening in that space, as well as outlining those priority areas that we need to be focusing on going forward. Can we move to the first one on local government, basically in the cities that we have identified, which is Mpumalanga in the Enhlanzeni focusing being in Bushbuckridge. Today and yesterday they are at Vembe. We also managed to do Harigwala through the Awama with the Dragonberg route. We'll be finalizing part of the food stage as well as Northwest in the coming months. Can we move to this one is on service excellence. We are focusing on Manyani and the Robben Islands. Robben Island already has moved quite a bit. Manyani will be finalizing also going into the next generation. In terms of ensure treasure route, basically it's to ensure that municipalities along the coast and even communities are able to really capitalize on the tourism potential that they have. More of making sure that we bring communities to understand as well as participate. It's still a bit insensitive, but we've managed to meet with Northern Cape as well as the Western Cape. We will be meeting with Kauteng and Pumalanga. Can we go back on the enterprise development? On the enterprise development, we have targeted 100 rural enterprises through the support of PEP. We have managed to do 92 in the second quarter, assessing what are the needs, as well as coming with intervention plans per specific entity. In the first quarter, we managed to only to do 78, simply because in the analysis of the needs, the areas that we have come up with is mentorship, business training, market access, issue of providing grant support, and now we need to focus only on these 100. So it's a question of centralized training where is the entity expected to go to a province at the central point. Some of these entities, they don't teach. Hence, we find ourselves having to have these numbers, not only on the last slide, which is on the EPWP, the first two quarters are able to overachieve. In the first quarter, the number now is 511, which are preliminary, and the three quarters overall, in terms of being able to meet the annual, we are currently at 91%.
we should be in terms of what we have targeted, supposed to be at 65. So we are hopeful that by the end of the year we'll be able to meet the target of 3,008, because we are left with quite a few. And the thing that made us to go down is simply because in the second quarter, most of the training for the they were graduations, so they fall off the issue of being part of the program because they have graduated. So we are left with Limpopo and Free State, which for Limpopo is 500, and then for Free State is going to be 600. Basically, we'll be able to meet the 2008 in the March. Yeah. And basically, it's infrastructure projects. We have a report that we share with the House, which will show which provinces and the type of projects are those in terms of infrastructure. The rest is on the shelf as well as the Torrens and Bali. And that's what maybe I'm sure already they have graduated. Thank you very much.
I think you're still in a way with human resource. From you, domestic tourism, Mbrungu, the food assurance, how far are you with the food assurance?
Thank you, ma'am. In the food assurance, we were expected to, by this time, have selected them. They will be placed in the final order. So through FedHasa, which is our partner in this, they've managed to do the road shows in all the provinces. Remember, in the pilot phase, it was only three provinces. So they've managed to do that. They've managed to recruit their members to be host in terms of placing the kids when they are going to start to do this. They've managed to get curriculum civic CVs from six, I forget that number, but it's more than 600. So they're going to select from those CVs, so that they're able to get the right people to go through this process.
Thank you. Honorable members, questions? Honorable Adam?
Honorable
Matoye, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to start my engagement. Thank you for the report. And I was really delighted to see all of the members that are here partake in the program. That says you made a great responsibility for the program. But I would like to start from slide 49, where work backwards. You have on the human resource a small aspect there that says the statistics excludes and quarter two, 8 interns and 3 contractors. And then quarter three, you say statistics excludes 17 interns and 3 contractors. I want you to know the 17, does they include the 8 of the quarter two as you talk up? And I would like to know, you've given us a workforce representativity. I'd like to know in the next report, you can report to us how many of the dead members are used. Then, Chairperson, the next one is on slide 44, I think that is program 4. But I'd like to know, you know, I always talk about targeting. You say your target is 44, key performance indicator, and I'd like you to look at the numbering also. Because I'm in a hurry now, and I can't show you precisely where, but the numbering of your key performance indicator is right through the document. I think it's program 2. But program 4, you say 9 service excellence awareness ratings efforts were conducted. Now you break it up to 2, and then you say quarterly targets 4, and actual performance 6 it's good that you perform more than we target for. But it also says something that we are not handling correctly. Then on slide 43, you have reached 6 district municipalities. You have done, there were some capacity building programs. It's good. But the monitoring and the evaluation, and was that program implemented? Because tourism is at local government level. So that's the way we should measure our inputs. Was it worth the while? And should we redirect that money spent at the municipality? You know what's happening at municipalities. So I'd like you, especially the CFO, to look into that matter. I think I've asked a previous time on slide 42 the fruits, how were they identified. I think I have done that. The same is on slide 41. You say you implement 4 provinces, you have actual 8 provinces. Now, on slide 40, you say there are 100 rural enterprises supported for development. That's my question there. Support. But is there fruit? Is there development? And why didn't you reach, I'm talking to quarter 2, why didn't you reach your 100 as rural enterprises? Why only 92? What are the challenges? And what can you do to curb that challenges in future? Then I see in quarter 3 and what the Indaba session was reviewed, but I see in quarter 3 it was not good. What was? I think it is in quarter 3. Yeah. Then Jefferson, there was one on DEE. I didn't get it. But, slide 30. You say there were 3 priorities that I think this is program 2 or 3. You say there were 3 priorities for the pilot phase. How did you identify these priorities? Was it done, market research done on that? Or how did you get to that? And then lastly, Jefferson, on program 2, I think, program 2, again, the BEE implementation. Your target is developing enterprise and supplier development program to accelerate SMMEs empowerment in the tourism sector. How successful are we there? Is there a tool to measure it? You know, out there are many women and people that is jobless. And they see this BEE and SMME empowerment as a tool or as a gateway to get jobs. Now you say a report on the development is draft and it was developed and approved, was implemented. Because a report developed and approved means nothing. Implementation is what it is all about. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Chair. I only have 2 questions. The first question is in relation to slide number 24. And here it talks about the, I want to ask the criteria which you use for your capacity training programs, because I have had a question from an entity, my constituent, saying that most of the training programs that are offered or that should be offered by the department, you must go via training partners. So I want to understand why all these red tape and a chance to come after training or because they have to go via program, they have to register and program partners and so on before they are able to access some of the funding and some of the training. Just give me an understanding of why can't all this red tape and tell me what's the procedure. And then the coupled with that, the question around tourism complaining, people complaining around a tourism product which they have found in where they would be visiting. I had a call from somebody who has visited Cape Town during their festive who wanted to complain about something, but needed the provincial number or the provincial person. We struggled to get a person that they could direct their complaints to in that particular province. And then the second one deals with the issue of domestic tourism around the EPWP program minister. You know, from where I come from, in the village where I come from, I see EPWP programs taking place. Now you see people dressed in orange overall or green, walking about the street, doing whatever they be tasked to be doing at that time. And when you question and ask them, they'll tell you that it's maybe we're in this contract for 6 months, we are getting a stipend, and this is what we are doing. 6 months passes, you see another group. I want to get to understand if really there is value for the money that we are putting into this CWP programs, and also the outcome. Can we measure or can we quantify the real tangible changes to the people's lives? So I've also here in the Department of Tourism, I always get communication or information that the minister or deputy minister will be going on graduations of tourism bodies, tourism whatever, throughout the country. Now, is it possible that you can quantify the placement rate of these EPWP programs together with what we actually invest in them? Because it's one thing for us as members of parliament to think that EPWP programs changing the lives of people. But when you go down to where we come from, you can see that the situation is not exactly there. Because you the example which I just mentioned, you see these spaces now, two spaces they are doing this and telling they are in this program, it's an EW program. You get to the after 6 months you don't see them, they are nowhere, and then they say, okay, it was a contract for 6 months, and then next year you see two spaces. What happened to those that you empowered at by that time? Where did you give them enough skills, or did you give them capacity enough to be able to stand on their own? Or are we saying 6 months is sufficient for people to stand on their own and to struggle for resources within such a changing economy? Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. My question is slide 23. I had a question on slide 23 as the presenter elaborates. She said this whole problem is done in 29 municipalities in all 9 provinces. But can you please give us more details so that we can understand how? Because as you said, this thing happened on 29 municipalities in all 9 provinces. We just want to know, because my question was, where was this held? And how will you monitor if this were impactful? So can you give us the full details of these 29 municipalities in all provinces? And also, on slide 27, when will be this actual capacity building take place? Is it focused on women with the department, or is it sector-wide? And also, slide 28. As you mentioned,
meant these two destinations, Europe and Ireland and the Kruger National Park. These two destinations are known by all centers. Why are we not spending money on developing other less known destinations in this country? Because we do understand, everyone knows Europe and Ireland, but others, they don't know about them. So I want clear understanding on that. And also, like taxi, as UDG explained, but I didn't hear why was this not done. And the last, like 40. Some of these, as the presenter said, some of these they don't teach. Our interest is to understand the geographical and demographic makeup of these enterprises that will benefit. As if the information provided does not help, how are we to know if these interventions are working? I think.
So before you answer, around the municipality, we will be inviting the government to come and tell us about the municipalities because they're a lot.
Okay.
And they would like to know about municipalities, about tourism, training for municipalities and tourism, so that we're able to see it on the ground, because on the ground there's very little. So there will be a dedicated session for the department to come and brief us on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And let me welcome the report or the presentation that you got this morning. I wanted to clarify on slide number 36, number 2, where our target is only one tourism skills development. I know at times we have a problem of not targeting properly. At times we under target, or at times we target too many things and we're unable to accomplish them. I will really say on this one we are targeting only one skills development for the whole year. Can I get back to on that one? And on 37, number 3, it doesn't show on your target exactly how many are you targeting. It's the number of tourism stock markets and development plans. But some of it doesn't indicate. I don't know if whether maybe it was a mistake, just keep it. On page 40, or slide number 40, we have those enterprises, about 100 of them, that were given some support. And within two quarters, we're able to intervene in 92 of them. What type of support are we really giving on that one? Can we explain the support that we have been giving on them? Which we managed to do that, which is a very high number, very high, 92 out of 100 within 2 quarters. How did we do it? And then can we also, on slide number 33, the universities that we are collaborating with, which ones are those that we are able to collaborate with? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the response. There's a lot of food for thought in this particular presentation, in as much as that when you come to give us the annual report, it must be clear that you actually account for your budget around service delivery, around value for money. Because all the questions are around that, that the budget that you are getting. And on EPWP, those people that are in the tourism is having EPWP. Do they get any portable skills so that they can be used for future? Around tourism enterprise program, we were told this will be put on hold so that it's re-advertised at the end of the financial year, how far has that gone? Because this program is in place to be able to develop rural SMMEs in particular. And then, how frequent do you service your program so that information is really available when people want to get it from the portal? Thank you very much. Over to you, Gigi. And Minister and the Gigi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, for the comments and questions. The varying programs are going to deal with the unexpected ones. We'll start with domestic in terms of issues pertaining to SMEs and issues pertaining to EPWP. And then country is going to deal with matters pertaining to the related research as well as matters related to the local government capacitation, but between them we will also deal with the matters of the not detail because we still can't make it. I will deal with some of the problem three issues and some of the further issues. And I think there was the problem one question pertaining to the numbers, how the intention was the reduction of the intent or some other of those things.
Thank you, sir. I'll start first with the service excellence coming from Honorable Adam. The issue was, if SMEs were under targeting, because we had 4 envelope fingers than 8. Service excellence is an awareness, we are creating awareness in all the 9 provinces. For quarter 2, we targeted 4, but there was additional sessions that we did through the request of the provinces. Hence, in our headquarters, when we're supposed to deal with the remaining, we said we have already dealt with those in the second quarter. So it was a request coming from provinces to say, please do the service excellence as well. If only one province that is remaining, which is Limpopo, will be doing that in February during the Maruga Festival week. On the educator as well, educator exposure. Normally, we do this within all the 9 provinces as well, but due to the NTCE, we use the province where the NTCE is going to be held to try to popularize the NTCE. So we have more educators in us within the particular province that is hosting the NTCE. In this instance, we were also requested by the Department of Education not to overlap into the sector in order not to interfere with the exams that are normally happening within the sector. It's also a partnership with Fed Hasa because Fed Hasa gives us accommodation because we are taking the educators to the various hotel accommodations so that they have an understanding of what's happening within that space so that when they teach with a practical understanding of what is happening. In terms of the local government capacity building in 6 district municipalities, the target 6 is an annual target. What happened is that for Mpumalanga, where our focal point is Bushbuck Ridge, and Nhlanzeni extended the invitation to the rest of the local municipalities within that state. So for Mpumalanga, we're able to deal with a district including its locals, which are 5. And then we have the route Maluti-Drakensberg, the Free State side, as well as the KZN side. The KZN side, we're able to meet with Kekwala municipality. We are still to meet with Dr. Ruth Mumpati, as well as them. They have indicated yesterday and today they are busy there. Francis Bath in the Northern Cape, if we are going to deal with it this last quarter, as well as Maliti Drakensberg, the Free State side, which will be Kabomofisane. So these are the district municipalities, including some of their locals, who are participating in this capacity building.
Fortunately, UNISA came on board at no cost. So they are evaluating as we deal with this session. They've come up with a questionnaire so that they can give us more information in terms of, is it really worthwhile for this official, because the target group is official counselors, tourism operators, as well as unemployed youth, and the chief within that space. The impact, I'll indicate that within the Bush Agreement, there was no organization to deal with tourism-related issues. Towards the end of last year, they were able to call us and say, we are now having this come and facilitate. So these are some of the things that we want to see happen, because for us to get into the space was to make people understand that there's value in tourism. And if you find that the municipality doesn't have an organization to deal with that, then it becomes a social problem. So our main goal is, let's help organize bodies that will be able to push the value of tourism. Coming to enterprise development. Upfront, we said we need to have 100 rural areas that will support every partner. The partnership that we have with TEF is that they will deal with 154 areas. The assessment that came up in terms of what type of support to give is mentorship, which we have 21 of those that will be doing mentorship, which we are currently doing mentorship, business training, and the business training involves good kitchen practices, housekeeping, customer care. Those are the things that they give to this entity. Market access training is one of those, as well as the BDF grant funding, which basically would be website development, applying for advertising in the space, as well as towards start reading of the business. So those are the support that you give to this enterprise. As I've indicated, when they do the training, let's say it's in Limpopo, they won't go to individual entities. Instead, they say, come to a central point so that we can take you through the things that you said you need support on. So some of these people, they don't come through various reasons that are put on the table. But now we don't want to say any hundred. Hence, we need to have a targeted training or support over 2 to 3 years, because we can't go in and go out. Otherwise, they won't come. So we'll be able to measure, let's say, after 3 years, so the 100 or whatever number that you're supported, what's the cost in terms of the numbers, in terms of the revenue that they are putting on the team. That is around enterprise development. All the ETWP, we targeted 308 IMAGI. The first quarter that we were able to exceed, the second quarter is what we were able to exceed. In the first quarter, we're supposed to have had 700 as a target, but we're at 511, identified by Department of Public Works, but still our internal processes to also own. Taking on 3 quarters, already we're at 91%. So when we calculated, we found that for us to meet the target, we're expected to come up with 88 per month FTEs. And we're saying we'll be able to reach the target as outlined. The things that we have achieved is infrastructure related. The project, I have the report that I gave it to our test guys. It will outline where the project are. It will further outline how many person days were worked, as well as how many training days were done. And then there's a calculation that we do to give us the FTE. On the training side of things, we have comedians, we had chefs, we had the buddies. The buddies are those who will be dealing with the waiting in the hotels, understanding what's happening in the laundry, understanding all the work within the hotel. We had a lot of graduations in
November, part of December, meaning they are moving out of the program. So we are no longer counting them. Hence the reduction in this previous quarter. And even this quarter, we want the same number like before. In terms of going forward, the ECWP principles basically say, here these people to be able to be employable. So when they are in the infrastructure, they're training related to replaying all the way, so that when the project ends, they'll be able to either come up with something on their own or be employed somewhere else on the infrastructure side of things. In terms of training for chefs, for media, it's a question of being able to get work in either the restaurant or hotel. And the absorption rate, if I may use that word, is at least 50%. Most of the people that we have trained, some of them where they are placed, they then take them on board. So it's not a wasted money, if I may put it that way, but it's a question of they must have the skills to be able to do things, either on their own, coming up with business. So we have those who have managed to come up with restaurants, to come up with guest houses, through the skills that we have equipped them. Thank you.
I'll be dealing with the issue on how often do we service our prison knowledge authors. We have structured quarterly updates that we do on the prison knowledge portal, but we also do ad hoc basis maintenance. Quarterly is the reason is that most of our data that we receive is on a quarterly basis. Therefore, then that's when we can be able to update the information that we have on the tourism knowledge portal. In terms of which universities are we collaborating with, there are four institutions, University of Pretoria, University of Johannesburg, University of Venda, as well as University of KwaZulu-Natal. Those are the four key institutions. How do we select people for training and development? We do first needs assessment to establish what we should be covering in terms of the capacity development program, and then also identify partnership approaches with key or relevant stakeholders in the sector to inform our training content, as well we are able after that to measure impact because the need assessment has done prior to the actual training that has to be conducted. But obviously, our main evaluations, we do them on a mid-term basis because that's where people are given the opportunity to practice what they've learned and then given time, to put on-the-job training and learn the new knowledge and skills, and then we can be able to do evaluation. We have our monitoring and evaluation team that do that for programs that are running in the department. In terms of the strategic selection of sites for destination development, I think DG could talk to that. Thank you.
Sorry, DG, before you talk on that, CFO, will the department give a guarantee that accounting treatment of EPWT will be finalized at the end of the financial year as the Auditor General's recommendation?
Jefferson put in a different position. I don't want to say I won't guarantee it, but on condition that the guidance that they receive, the final outcome from National Treasury, is implementable within our capabilities and our resources that we have, then I can assure you that we will do our best to do it.
DG, the board, and in your court at the end of the court.
Jefferson, there's two things about it. One is that we report according to a framework prescribed by Treasury at any particular time. Now, the Accountant General must decide on their own. once the Accountant General has decided on the rules, ours is to implement those rules. So that's why your hearing is not going to full committee. Now what we have done, we, subsequent to all the things that happened the previous year, we had a discussion with the AG, and that discussion was aimed at identifying how best can we meet the requirements of the modified cash standards in the context of the current framework that we're supposed to. And the reality was that there wasn't a framework that was put in place to say this is what we should use at that time, and this is why there was all this issue. So subsequently, we had engagements with our colleagues from the other side in Treasury, constructive engagements, I must say, where we were then able to agree on whether we are going to treat these matters either as infrastructure, as capital, and all other matters as goods and services. Preliminarily, there is an understanding that that is the way we should treat this thing. But we need a return confirmation that comes from the Accountant General that this is what we must tell you. Once that arrives, which factors me, it should come within early February. Once that arrives, then we are very comfortable. He is actually ready to actually implement in accordance with what we agreed last time with AG. So that is the only thing that we need. Once we get that confirmation, then we'll be in a clear position. Chairperson, then if maybe I should get to know, just to talk about the...
Thank you, Chef. The issue of intent, we have 8 intents in the department. The opinion we have circulated earlier, we corrected and projected that one, the correction here, so we don't accept that and then imprinted in the document submitted. And on the issue of chaplains and complaints officers, the department, obviously, the complaints officer is at national is provisions of the Act, but provinces do have their own provincial mechanisms that they use, and maybe we can find a way of just communicating on our website who are the other options, but that our responsibilities are those of the provincial complaints officer in terms of the Act.
Can you share that with us when you are ready to do so? Because at times people contact us knowing that we are waiting in Parliament, so we should be knowledgeable, so that we are able to support the community.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. We apologize for the intentions and so on. We will do a check of verification of the document. One other thing, this question about the complaints office, what we are picking up from the question is that we need to up our game in terms of our information. That's the message is coming quite clear. So we definitely need to have that and make sure that anyone of us here whom I will not do that here are getting to be asked what is the manager. But you know, we also do is that it should be at the back of our office. That's also something that we will try and mobilize it as much as possible. And if it can even be in the members' business card, so this is a mechanism that is ready for the portfolio action. Then there are a number of questions that should also talk to. The first one is matters pertaining to the Indaba program for the ministerial session. I think also it's the terminology that we use where if it says this thing was supposed to be approved, then we say not approved. And not approved has got a connotation. This has not been passed before the meeting. So we can't say not approved. It hasn't really been submitted as yet to the minister. But the process that we undergo to get to this honorable chairperson, members, we go through a process of liaising with these different countries' missions in South Africa, where we are able to actually also gauge whether what we want to discuss is not offensive. There are diplomatic issues. And so we go through that particular process. So
so that by the time we actually make a pronouncement that we are focusing on this, these are the people that will speak on the subject. This is the media platform that we are going to use. So there is a reasonable degree of agreement, and we also know who will come and who will actually officiate at that particular forum. That's why we're saying we are comfortable that we actually meet the target for a year. But similar to, for instance, the French one, the chef, honorable, Mr. Jefferson, we have the level of negotiation that has to go into being able to just create that single platform is quite intense, which is why we have now opted to go the route of start engaging on whatever you may want to do next year now, so that by the time you get to that particular platform, you are already, there's a level of readiness. So you have a level of dependency. And that level of dependency, we think going forward, is something that we must manage much more carefully, because you have to wait for the French to say, we are ready, yes, we can talk. Change this line, we think, once this line. There's been a change of mandate. That entity now has changed. It's no longer the one that's dealing with this thing. This hospitality training is more now with equivalent of the FAT on the other side. So now again, it seems to be in line with that. So those are the kind of things that we deal with, including in the overall country agreement in terms of our bilateral agreement. But ultimately, once we have finalized those processes, that's when the ultimate decision that we want, we simply say, yes, we will be there, or you will be there on the date, and this is the number of people we can accommodate. And we do all this work just to arrive at this, and then ultimately the actual training can take place. So this is why some of these things, like I said, they will have to be in future built upon, so that we arrive by the time phase 3-2. We know exactly that everything about that 3 or that 2, these are lessons we are picking up as we go actually. There was a question about whether we were informed by research to arrive at what we focused on in terms of the tourism incentive program. Yes, partly, but largely deliberations, very intense deliberations within that research. We consulted on what were the real issues on the ground, and at the time that we're dealing with this, there was a very clear need for us to actually bring in place something that would assist them in terms of continuity with regards to their business from an energy perspective, and that's why we ended up with that. The small businesses were saying that they would really need to be assisted with regards to the trading aspect, and that's why we brought that in. The market access, in particular, as it relates to the SMEs, that was a very big area of need, and that's what we actually brought you in. Then there was an issue about the destination development aspect. And we were saying, and I do hear what Honorable Majority said with regards to whether why Robben Island and why National Park. Our view on Chesterton was that if we want to create scale and be able to actually expand opportunities for people to either do business with that particular entity or to have science businesses such as art and crafts, such as photography and so on and so forth, such as food and beverage and those types of things, we need then to make sure that we create some sense of mass in that particular specific one. And the new ones that we start should somewhat be also linked to something that is already successful. So the likelihood is high that you could take people to something, breaking total new ground altogether, but creating some form of the white elephant in that particular place. So if you take area such as Kruger National Park, you will find that part of what they actually want to do then is to create a wild activity hub. But that wild activity hub then would actually bring in things close to a community, which benefits the community that is adjacent to the park. So those are the kind of things that we have been able to actually take us to a point where we do something and it directly generates the necessary jobs, it generates the necessary revenue, it translates the skills development, and it also enhances wider experience within that particular area. So those are some of the things that we are actually working on. There was a question which didn't really deal with it when she was looking at this. There was a question about, I'm not going to go through the whole list, there was a question about where are these this rural enterprise. We've got in Western Cape 11, Eastern Cape 19, Northern Cape, we've got 3 housing, is 1. Housing is an urban, but small rural, and it's got only 1 enterprise that we can support. Northern, Northwest, we have got 2. KwaZulu-Natal, we've got 12. Limpopo, we've got 12. And then we've got Mpumalanga with 41. And this might relate to the concentration of products in rural municipalities such as Kwazulu and so on. So that's the spread. And we've got a whole list of which are these municipalities and so on across the country, and the specifics in each municipality, how many are they and so on. So we've got all those. Going forward, what is going to happen in terms of this problem, and what are we going to do with the SME problem? A call for proposals has already gone out. So we will be considering those different proposals that will come through. And we actually want to scale up this to a point where we are able to actually deal with issues of incubation and so on. And ultimately, it will have a different level, whether it's a question of creating linkages, question of skills development, enhancement and so on. But we're working very closely with the Department of Small Business, which we have actually gotten a transfer agreement with on paper, which assists. We have regular meetings in terms of what are some of the things that if we believe that an enterprise really would have already graduated beyond the kind of support we can offer, then they can actually go to the support that can be offered by that department. Similarly, if an enterprise goes to them that they believe that the nature of support required is best suited to be provided by us, then they will also make that transfer and so on and so forth. So there is some harmonization in that regard. We will come here and give a detailed presentation about BEE. Suffice to say that of all the sectors that have got their own specific charter, construction, financial services, and so on, so for telecommunications and the like, tourism was the first one that the CIA actually gave a nod for our new codes. So the codes are in place, and we will actually take the members through so that they can also familiarize themselves with the details of the content within that. I heard as members were asking questions that they would welcome some form of a narrative when we come here about what are we seeing on the ground in terms of the things that we've been doing, whether they've been changing things on the ground. And I think that's something that we'll set. There is a lot of things that, I mean, I get a lot of updates from, for instance, the colleagues in domestic tourism. And they will be going even to the level of some of the tactics in terms of areas where we've got operators for some of these SRI programs that we've implemented and so on. And one really is you can actually see that the movement towards something that is sustainable. So we are dealing with a number of issues. SRI in some instances has been able to close some gap in terms of what one would say the poverty related to asset ownership and so on. So this is playing some role in this. But these issues pertaining to the skills that Asmo are talking about, there are people that have gone through your chef program and so on that have gone to become resilient by themselves. There are people, for instance, that have gone through the one from housing where we had studies and so on. Some of the people that were there, that graduated from this, that are now working, they were addicts of their open, that were removed from that and actually got a job from them, and now they are actually... So there is tangible difference that is on ground, that is a question of the narrative, and I suppose that narrative as we go ahead and we'll actually provide information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. I was hoping that the department, and as they've done, would be pretty people responding to questions in the detail, so I'm not going to go into the details. There's some perhaps more generic questions I just want to touch on. from the Honourable Whip. On the EPWP is partly being addressed, but I think there are some challenges that the Honourable Member is not here right now. And the realities of the EPWP, it's sort of imperfect. It's true, people work for a period, and then it's discontinued. The question of how much have you invested, that's been answered. How much have you invested in training and making people who have been part of the EPWP employable, etc. The most of our EPWP projects, Honourable Chairperson, are time-bound. Unlike some other EPWP that might be cleaning programs assisting municipality, as they have in various municipalities, that might be ongoing, and it might be a combination of EPWP and the community work program. But where you have had a specific project, it will be by definition time-bound. When it's completed, people are offered job opportunities for a period, and then something is constructed, which has the permanent value. So it's not like the fact that people under long gas work. That's a construction, by the way. This is EPW, not EPW. However, today that, you know, if the training component comes in, it does change people's lives. Not everybody is going to be absorbed in the job market because we have a high level of unemployment. I mean, it stands without reason. Unless we create many, many, many more jobs in our economy, people that are university graduates, people are trained at FEE colleges, or people that go through our training program, not everybody will be absorbed. But it doesn't mean it isn't life-changing in some way or other. I just want to say there's a new program which hasn't been tabled here. As we are shifting from our EPWP focus just on these SRI projects, you know, going off with the community, building facilities, handing it over to the community, we're looking at a different kind of EPWP in support of tourism. And I have mentioned it to the portfolio committee before, where you'd have more permanent workers who would, say, for example, keep beaches clean or keep city precincts clean and safe, and deal with environmental issues on a more permanent basis. And that will ensure that some key areas become more attractive destinations because they are clean and safe and because they are friendly tourism people there. We've entered a contract with an organization called RESA, who's been working with the Department of Environmental Affairs for a long time, to maintain some of our blue flag beaches, so they maintain their blue flag status. That means environmental management, cleanliness, safety, and all sorts of things. So we, how many Marova are currently employed under this contract? It will be 200 people in this financial year. That will be, so this is the beginning of a new kind of EPWP approach from the department. The other generic things, Honourable Chairperson, I mean, I think it's clear, I mean, they're just on targets. You know, targeting is good, of course. Exceeding targets is not necessarily the effect of under-targeting. It could be that new circumstances arose, new opportunities arose, and so, you know, you can never, if you want to make targeting something exact, well, you can do with something. If you say, we will have two workshops in a year, and then you have two workshops in a year. But in other things, I mean, you try to estimate in some areas. You try to estimate. Sometimes it's numbers. And there'd be many factors beyond your control which could lead in exceeding numbers or not achieving the numbers. For example, on tourism arrivals, there could be many things that influence it. Could be disease outbreaks and price escalation, even in contracts. There are factors beyond your control, but when you don't achieve, then at least when you report to the portfolio committee, you say, why not? Clearly, if there was a strike up there, price escalation or weather conditions, all of these things could affect a contract or piece of construction. But then you have to report. So the targeting, I don't think we should, you know, say, oh, well, you know, we're afraid to exceed the target. That would be wrong. But we need those are just general comments on the targeting. On the priorities that we have, these are priorities are determined, in the first instance, suppose you hold us account to the strategic plan and then the annual APP, the annual performance plan. But priorities do change even in the course of a period of a strategic plan. And they're influenced by the State of the Nation Address, by economic realities, by possible budget constraints and all sorts of things. And for example, the 9-point plan as a kind of a rescue plan. To what extent would tourism fit into that kind of rescue plan? or the reality, for example, of Operation Pakisa as of, on the oceans economy. So that may not have been envisaged when you prepared your strategic plan. But even as we assess ourselves and look at, you know, what do we want to be, what do we want to do, what do we want to do more of, we've pulled a few priority areas, a few of which came out here. We believe small business support is critically important. So although the discussion was about TEP, what we have at the moment is really, it's not about who does it, it's about treating it as a priority. I can just say our budget item for small business support is far too small. So, you know, we would like to reach more businesses and more effectively. Who does the actual training and coaching and mentoring? That has to go through a process. But what we want is to intensify our small business support and increase it. Skills development, we see that as a priority area. So we want more of it, not less of it, and we want quality skills development. The incentive program, we see as something that's going to be growing over the next few years as important to us. Destination enhancement, the DG has said, partly addressed the question about Kruger National Park, Robben Island, but of course there are many other examples where we've not only for those very well-known destinations, but we've done something to do to achieve the destination enhancement. We will be, to some extent, focusing on, because we're a national department, on things that can really make a difference to really numbers. Clearly, our key potential magnets, at least, you want them enhanced because they're going to be attracting people. And it isn't just these two, but others as well. World Heritage Sites, in general, we would see as something unique in South Africa. So we, hello. She apologizes. So we will be concentrating on World Heritage Sites, but not only, once again. Clearly the EPWP, I've already said, we want that to be growing, but we want the EPWP to contribute towards Destination South Africa and critical parts of South Africa to make them more attractive, to make them clean, to make them safe, etc. So that will be growing in the years to come. So these are part of our own reflection of what are the things that we should be doing that will make a difference. And so these things will change, but we will continuously interact with the Portfolio Committee to explain to the Portfolio Committee where we see opportunity to concentrate our efforts and our limited resources on. I said at the beginning that obviously we're facing budget challenges as government. But I also spoke about the exchange rate. I should say, which I didn't say, the exchange rate is not only something that makes South Africa more attractive in terms of value for money, but also discourages South Africans from traveling abroad. So the exchange rate also results in greater domestic tourism. We will be intensifying our efforts to encourage more domestic tourism, but I don't really have time to go into that. There's a cross-cutting issue, Chairperson, because I've listed all of these priorities. The big thing about growing the sector and ensuring that it is inclusive growth and the transformation of the sector. So when we talk skills development, small business support, the tourism incentive program, we would see all of these contributing towards transformation of the sector. And so, you know, it's you, comrades, members, honourable members, I've raised this with us many times. We are mindful of it. The question is, what can we do to facilitate greater transformation? So we will be really focusing our minds on achieving that transformation, meaningful transformation in the sector. These are some of the generic comments that I would like to make. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Gigi, I'm sure you will send us the list of those LMMEs so that people know what's happening in the provinces. Thank you very much. We started on maybe a bad note or a funny note or a noisy note, but we're ending up in a good note. And I hope the department will really, I think all of us will pull our socks and fold our sleeves and work hard for tourism to prosper, for tourism to grow, for tourism to be a force to reckon with in the country. As it is forever here that it is exceeding mining around job creation, around creating economy, and we wish it to do so. And I think working together, we will be able to do that. And thank you very much for the presentation. But I'm sure you'll get more credit when you present your annual report. because that way we'll be expecting everything you've been telling us throughout the year to be happening. And I am hoping that you will still get a clean audit despite everything else, but you'll get a clean audit. Because we're the most happy. It's tough to work in and also with a department that is forever getting an audit with this and that and that and that, which I'm not going to mention, which is really not quite attractive. But I hope the department will maintain a clean audit. And I also hope those who have been in the department for a long time will bear with us, because we are all new members in this particular field. Some of us hate and said, what really tourists to do with it and what about it? But we are learning as we go along. And of course, we'll be tripping, but not falling, but trip and get up and work hard. Thank you very much. And really, we'll be calling you for those BEE codes, though not on the date on which you were to present because of the circumstances that you cannot avoid. And we'll also be calling you around municipalities and tourism and the funds that you put in to actually assist the municipalities, particularly in training members, the professionalizing tourism in municipalities so that it is taken as seriously as anything else, not just as an addition, because it is capable to raise the GDP and improve the economy. On that heavy note, we thank you very much for the presentation. Thank all of you, Minister, Chief of Staff, and all the people that usually don't come to the community because, you know, that's specific. But we thank you for coming. And we thank you for your support. But we'll always be making a noise when we hear bad vibes on tourism. Thank you very much.
Oh,